This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we'll be introducing two new members to the board of directors, Dawn Robbins and Jonathan Elliott. And we begin with our series profiling the riders on the USEF Under 25 Winter Training List with Avery Klunick from Texas. Hi, Avery. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you on at this time because I know you just got your finals behind you at uni, so you're able to really focus on your eventing now. And probably with the two horses that you have, you're looking forward to a very exciting winter, I would imagine, preparing for the next season.
Yes, I am. I'm really relieved to be done with college, and I'm really excited. I'll be heading out to Aiken to work for Boyd Martin at the first of the year, and I'll be taking both of them, so that's going to be a really exciting time.
Well, this is not the first time that you've been on the training list, of course, so let's talk about the two horses that you have and what you've been doing with them this year, Avery. You've got an older horse. Let's start with him, In It to Win It, and what kind of season you've had with him, because you've had him a little while now, haven't you?
Yes, so I've had him, it'll be 8 years Christmas Day this year, and I was on the list with him in 2012 and 2013, and obviously that was with David O'Connor, and I really enjoyed riding with him, so I'll be excited to ride with Leslie. I've walked across country course with him, the three-star at Chat Hills this past May, but I've never really had a lesson with him, and I've heard great things, so I'm excited to experience that. And then I guess this past year, Winston, In It to Win It, ran the CCI three-star Rebecca Farm, and he was really good there. I had a rider error on cross country, so I had an unfortunate 20, but I was supposed to do the CCI three-star at Fair Hill, and it was just way too much with school, so I had the last minute scratch. So that was unfortunate, but I'm looking forward to a big year on the East Coast this spring.
Well, you've been on the team before, the Young Rider team before, so none of this is new to you, but you've consolidated with these horses now to, I guess, be a little bit more ambitious. So let's talk about the other horse a little bit more and how you began that partnership with him and what your aspirations are with him as well.
Okay, for sure. Dee and Derek found Ringwood Army. Dee and Derek DeGrazia found him in Ireland. I guess it's been 2 summers ago, so I've had him for almost 2.5 years. And we got him as a 5-year-old. He'd pretty much done nothing. So at this point, I've done a few prelims on him. And actually, he is currently for sale. So I'll be aiming to sell him in Aiken, and that's just because financial reasons, basically, to support the other horse at this point. So that's kind of unfortunate, but you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely, that's the business, isn't it?
It is.
And tell us a little bit about each of their quirks and what you're having to focus on. Where winter training is specifically going to help you with these horses, Avery?
Okay, well, Army is super. He's actually a really funny horse. He's obsessed with food. Like, it's ridiculous. So anytime, if I'm ever eating food around him, he will swarm me for it. So that's pretty funny. I've grown to really love him. When I first got him, I hated him. And I don't know why, but I really didn't like him. And I'd never really ridden a green horse that much. And obviously, that's extremely different than riding a maid horse you've had for like 5 or 6 years. So that was a little bit rough at the beginning, but now, you know, I've grown to love him just as much as I love Winston. He's pretty entertaining, and he is super, it's funny because his strengths and Winston's weaknesses, basically, well, they're really good for me. It's really good for me to ride both of them because Army is quite straightforward on the flat, and in the show jumping, he's from a show jump sire, So he's just always been just super easy to show jump. And then, you know, the flat work, obviously, just as he's getting older and more experienced, he's gotten quite a bit better on the flat, and it's fun because now I'm, you know, working on half passes. He has perfect flying changes, which I can't get a clean flying change on my 3-star horse still. So it's always nice to go ride Army and just run through a test that he can do really easily. And then, you know, Winston, who I've had forever, so I'm kind of having to work on a lot of things that probably I was the reason that got a little messed up on him, because he was my, you know, my first upper-level horse, and you know how that goes. But at this point with Winston, I've been really focusing on the flat work. I haven't done a competition on him since the AECs this fall, so late September. So I've had a few months to just kind of take a step back and really work on the quality of the gates. And he's, you know, he's coming along really well. It's always really humbling how much I can still learn from him. Even though I have had him this long, he still is improving so much. And, you know, that's really exciting. I had a flat lesson last week, and I ride with Mary Darcy here in Fort Worth, and she was just, you know, she was saying that. She was like, he's still improving so much. It's really exciting. And, you know, I can feel that too. And I think I'm just really working on riding him correctly with, you know, learning how to use my aids correctly on both of them.
Well, of course, that's the one thing that is something we always have to focus on, isn't it? Really concentrate on the correct use of the aids. But I'm curious, Avery, as to what else you've taken away from maybe this season that you as a rider need to work on a little bit harder, and where the winter training list, is going to help you.
Yes, okay. So I would say this season I made a lot of progress in some areas, and then I realized, you know, the show jumping has been a weak point for Winston and I, and I'm really excited to just keep working on that. I did go to some jumper shows this season, and they were, you know, did some meter 30s, and that was really successful, but I think the training list will definitely be helpful just to keep improving my show jumping. It's frustrating because it's once you're at the advanced and 3-star level, there's such a small margin for error. And if you do, you know, if you can go around an intermediate show jumping around perfectly, but once you get up, once the jumps go up a little bit, it obviously gets harder. So I've had a handful of rails here and there, and I've jumped an occasional double clean round here and there. So I'm looking forward to the training list just to kind of get a head start and have Leslie, you know, give me some things to work on, because I've known I'm pretty good about doing my homework. And so I think it'll be really good to, you know, they're going on in Ocala in mid-January. So I think it'll be good to go and have him say, okay, this is what you need to do to fix this, and this is what you need to do to fix this, and this is where you're weak. And I think I do know where the weak points are not necessarily in our partnership, but just probably really in my riding. And I'm excited to get to work on those and have a fresh eye say, okay, this is going to really help this.
Now, what would be your bigger goals, Avery, with your eventing career? And you mentioned that you have the one horse is for sale, but presumably there'll be others that will inherit the role and take over from the older horse as well. And if you look at the long term, where would you like to go with your career?
Well, I think I'm excited because, as I said, I've, you know, been in college for the past 4 years, and I haven't really been able to have a singular focus on my riding. So I'm looking this spring really to go get my feet wet. I've spent a few summers on the West Coast working for B and Derek DeGrazia, and I've wintered out there one time, but I've never really, I've done some competitions here and there on the East Coast, but I've never really gone out there and worked for a top professional and seen how it is out there. So I'm really looking forward to getting my feet wet in the horse world and just seeing, you know, what I would like to do with it. I think at this point I am qualified for Rolex on In It to Win It, and you know, my goal is to go out there this season and just see how things go. Go do a handful of CIC 3-stars and just see where my horse and I are. And then I would really love to go to Europe in the summer, whether I take Winston with me or not. You know, it's getting to the point where he is quite a bit older. So I'm not, you know, I'm waiting for the moment when I'm like, you know, I think he's ready to go run some 1-star and 2-stars with some kids. And he definitely has not reached that point yet. And I'm not sure if he'll reach that point in a year or 3 years, you know. I'm kind of waiting for him to tell me when he's ready to go do something a little bit easier. So I think until that happens, I would love to keep getting mileage on him at the 3-star level. And if running a 4-star works out, I would obviously love to do that. But I think long-term, my goal in the next year would be to go to Europe, whether it's Germany or England. Obviously, you know, Jacob Fletcher did that, and he's one of my good friends. So I talked to him endless hours about his experiences there. And another of my good friends, Mary Frances Cargill, worked for Mark and Tanya Kyle in England and had a great experience. And I think, you know, I think at this point, that really is the way to go. You know, with the U.S. is sending a ton of people over there for 3 days, and that's made a huge difference. And I think it's a great time for me in my life. I have no really obligations here. I don't have a business. I don't have a family depending on me. I think it would be a really good experience to just go over there without a horse and work for somebody. And then hopefully my goal would be by this late summer to have another young one coming up. You know, I think it'd be great to go to Europe for a few months and then find a horse over there once I have built some connections. And, you know, once I see a horse who I'm like, oh, wow, that's a really nice horse, as opposed to maybe just going on a weekend trip in 2 days and sitting on a ton of horses. And, you know, I would rather kind of just let it fall into place.
Well, lots to look forward to then with the year ahead and beyond, Avery. But for now, it's all focusing on the winter training then with those horses and preparing for the season ahead. So the very best of luck to you, Avery, and thank you for coming back on the program.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And we continue our series now, introducing the new board of director members with Dawn Robbins. Dawn is an adult amateur rider who's ridden through intermediate level and who's been the Area 6 adult rider coordinator for the past 5 years. As an active participant of the membership committee and the Area 6 council, she's been instrumental in developing the Area 6 leaderboard, website, and email systems. Dawn is a private consultant in the IT field, working with California cities, counties, and utilities, and she joins us now. Hello, Dawn. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. Thank you.
And you join us from California.
Yeah, I live in Ojai, California. It's near the coast.
An adult amateur in the sport for how long now?
Oh, gosh. Probably about 15 years only. I started pretty late, in my late 30s.
And as a new board member, you bring with you, of course, lots of experience of being an adult amateur in the sport, what that involves, and you've got some great ideas on topics as well. So, first of all, let's get an idea of what horses you're competing at what level right now, and then we'll talk about the topics that you're focusing on now as part of the USEA Board of Directors.
Okay. Well, I just have one horse. I'm a pretty typical amateur rider that way. I have a Irish sport horse, and she's 8 now. I've had her since she was 6. And we're just moving up. We did the 1-star at Galway at the end of the year, the CCI. And so we've done 2 1-stars, and those were both completed, so we're excited to keep going at that level next year and see how we do and moving up a little bit, I think.
How often do you get a chance to ride with your day job?
I ride pretty often. I'm a private consultant, and it gives me some time to get over to the barn and ride. So probably 5 days a week. And then my trainer, I train with Debbie Rosen. She does a lot for me with the horse. She keeps an eye on her and helps me with all the various vet issues and farrier and everything else. So she, you know, I believe in the training program as pretty much all encompassing because I really need her help.
Right. Well, being an adult amateur, of course, you're very familiar with what it takes to compete in the sport at that level. So talk a little bit about the ideas that you have for topics that were discussed at convention and that you would like to bring to the new board.
Yeah, well, I went to the summit meeting, and Siobhan O'Brien was there, and she gave a short talk about some of the issues that she saw amateurs having in the sport. And then we got together after that, of course, and a whole group of amateurs came in the back of the room and kind of loudly discussed their opinions. And so I took notes and brought those notes back to the board, and I'm now involved in discussing those with the organizing committee, which is Jonathan Elliott, who's chairing that now. But the issues are fairly well known, I think. One of them is level creep at the lower levels, and that involves, you know, people just being concerned that, say, beginner novice jumps are getting higher and harder and more difficult placement, like, say, downhill placement of some of the jumps are on a turn, corners, those kind of things. I think also a lot of amateurs would really like to know from the organizers in advance more about the courses, more about the terrain, more about the questions that are going to be asked so that they can plan accordingly and make sure that they're ready for that particular level, because, as we know, there's not just one level for beginner novice or novice. There's some very difficult courses and some that are easier. So that's one of the issues. Having more amateur divisions, now that's not a problem out here on the West Coast. We seem to, I didn't even realize it was an issue, but on the East Coast, a lot of those people have to compete against professionals in very large open divisions. And I don't think that's a problem, except that the idea of having a level playing field is a big deal. And it's nice for people to be able to compete against their peers and be able to be recognized after doing a good job against their peers. So that makes sense to me. Let's see. Eliminations is an issue that's been brought up a lot. And what I'm talking about there is that people who are eliminated for non-safety, like not a dangerous riding sort of issue or not falling off, you know, in show jumping or something like that, but maybe doing something stupid and getting eliminated, learning the wrong dressage test or something like that, and then not being able to run cross country. And I think that, again, that doesn't seem to be an issue so much here on the West Coast. The TDs out here seem to be pretty understanding of that, from what I hear, but on the East Coast, evidently, that is a problem. And the amateurs really want to lobby to be able to run the cross country. I think that's the crux of the issue, is that amateurs, especially at the lower levels, really want more cross country experience. If they go all the way to a show, they want to be able to run. You know, if they're not being safe, well, that's one thing. But if they are being safe and got eliminated for something little, relatively little compared to safety, then they want to be able to run. Now, I know that that's also an insurance issue, and I know that Jonathan Elliott is checking into whether that really is an insurance issue or if it's being just a perceived issue. So we'll find out more about that. And then cost. Cost is a huge deal, of course, for everybody, but especially for amateurs who, you know, are spending a great deal of their income to go to shows. and to have perhaps more one-day shows. That was brought up by Derek DeGrazia in the summit meeting. And evidently there's a lot of one-day shows on the East Coast, but we have maybe one out here on the West Coast that I can think of, and that's a new one at Woodland Stallion Station last year. So we have to go for 4 or 5 days in the hotel, and everything gets very, very expensive. And so amateurs would like to see if there's a way to get that, especially the cross-country experience in the show environment, for less than, you know, several thousand dollars of cost that you have to expend to go to a show. So those are some of the issues that we're talking about.
Okay, well, there's quite a lot on the agenda there then for adult amateurs, Dawn, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you're looking forward to bringing those to the board of directors and in your new role.
Yeah, I am. And so far, everybody's been really receptive. We'll see how it goes with the organizers committee. I know that, you know, I work with organizers out here, and they really have a lot on their plate. So it's not an issue of us, you know, blaming them or being negative in any way. We just want to see if there's a way we can work together to improve the environment for the amateurs and maybe improve their recognition, maybe figure out a way to get a few more ribbons to them and that kind of thing to help them really enjoy the sport a little bit more.
And what next for you? In the season ahead, do you train much over the winter, or do you just start up again in the spring?
We train a lot in the winter. We try to, you know, not jump our legs off because she's a horse, it turns out, who really has a very strong work ethic. And we tried to give her a bunch of time off and turnout, and she was not having it. So... We're worried about her getting hurt by, you know, kicking at the other horses and so forth. So we put her back to work. We mostly do flat with her anyway. We don't jump her very often. And it's mainly to keep me, you know, tight in the tack rather than her. She's a pretty good jumper and really quite honest and honorable. So we're working a lot on our flat work and just strengthening her back and everything. She's still pretty young, and so at 8 years old, she still has a lot of strengthening work to be done there.
And where will we see you when the season starts up again in the spring?
Galway will be the first one. We have the big trifecta event that's happening at Galway at, let's see, it's the 23rd that weekend of January. So that's 2 days of the ICP clinic, and then there's a sports psychology clinic, and then there's 2 days of cross country. And so I'll be there the whole time, learning everything I can and just soaking it in, and helping with the annual awards dinner as well. And then 2 weeks later is the first show at Galway, and I think we'll start out prelim and see how things go from there.
Wonderful. Well, the very best of luck with your personal season ahead and of course, with all that you're bringing regarding adult amateurs to the USCA, the benefit of your experience, Dawn. So thank you very much indeed for that and for coming on the program.
Oh, thank you.
Also joining the board is Jonathan Elliott, who's been in the sport for over 20 years. He started with the Young Riders, where he competed 3 times, placing 8th in 1992 and winning silver in 1995. He was also the 1996 recipient of the Lionel Guérin-Hermès Memorial Award, a USCT award for a young rider who has best represented the team's ideals of horsemanship and sportsmanship across all 3 disciplines. He continued in the sport to compete at Burley and Rolex. Currently, Jonathan and his wife Susie run Aspen Farms in Washington State, where they host 2 USCA horse trials, offering beginner, novice through advanced. Jonathan is an ICP certified instructor, has coached the Area 7 Young Rider team, is the Area 7 organizer representative, and a former chair of the Professional Horsemen's Council. And Jonathan joins us now from Washington State. Jonathan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've worn many hats, haven't you, in the sport, Jonathan, over several years now?
Yeah, I've lived in a number of different places. I grew up in Area 10 in Albuquerque and competed out there in California quite a bit when I was younger, and moved to the East Coast for school in Pennsylvania at Bucknell, and eventually ended up in Florida with a horse farm in just north of Ocala. So stayed down there in Area 3 for about 10 years. And then my wife, Susie, and I decided to move back to Washington State. Her family's from British Columbia, and my family's here in Washington. So it kind of made sense to be a little closer to home and have a farm here that we run two horse trials a year up through advanced and some FEI classes in the spring. And you know, over the years, I've been lucky enough to compete a lot of great horses. Was able to go to Burley with Co-Coltrum, which was definitely a highlight in my riding career, as well as doing Young Riders and things like that. Being involved in, you know, the different levels of the sport, I think, has been important for my experience, especially moving forward into focusing more on running the competitions here in Washington.
Yes, I wanted to come to that because you do now spend, obviously, a lot of time running those competitions, Jonathan, and you've been involved with the Professional Horsemen's Council, as I'd mentioned, and also other aspects of the USCA. So this must actually be a new challenge for you to be on the board. What are you most looking forward to that about that?
It's great to be involved and to be on the board and kind of see how the USCA and a little bit how the USCF works. I think a lot of times people don't, or before I didn't have a great insight into it. And as well to, you know, make sure things keep moving in the right direction with the sport. It's always been my point of view from running the shows as a competitor has always been important to me. And I think the same thing applies being on the board to, you know, what makes for a good show, what makes for good horses, and, you know, and a great way to develop horses over the years to get them up the levels.
And what aspects of the sport are you finding particularly interesting now in as they evolve with new rules and new divisions? Is there anything that you're particularly interested in focusing on that you'll bring to the board, Jonathan?
I just think it's, you know, helping kind of focus the sport a little bit. I think there's a push to kind of up the quality across the board of the competitions, as well as keep it, you know, accessible and fun to everybody, because it has been a large base in that to be definitely one of the, I guess, more laid back or more fun disciplines compared to some of the other ones, I would say. And I think that's important, but I think also to help, you know, all the competitions learn from each other and the USCA to help facilitate that to just constantly raise the quality, because I think that makes for better competition for sure. And I think hopefully producing better horses.
What do you think are the biggest challenges facing the association now with the sport continuing to evolve? We've been introducing the DX eventing and the beginner novice assistance allowed program. I mean, there are a lot of new things that are emerging, as well as the formats, of course, at the higher levels. What do you feel is the most biggest challenges or the, you know, the key challenges facing the sport right now that you can bring to the table to discuss even further?
Yeah, I think there's a definite crossroads a little bit with traditionally how we've done things, and ideas like the DX eventing or the assistance. You know, how my personal opinion is I'm very much into competition, and I think having people compete and being on their own is a great aspect of the sport. You do your homework and go out. That said, I think, you know, the DX eventing is very similar to, you know, I run derbies here in the spring at our show, where, you know, it's cross country and show jumping and the sand ring sometimes, and out on the cross country course. And we started it amongst, you know, Jonathan Holling and Kyle Carter, and I used to do it in Florida just between our barns, and we would just rotate. And I think it's a great educational experience, whether it's a schooling show derby or this DX eventing that could be incorporated with a horse trials. I think that's a great way for horses to gain experience, because they can do a couple rounds similar to a jumper show and really learn from it, and the riders as well, that there's just not one shot at competing like in a classic horse trials. But I also think that's the beauty of the sport, is you get one shot at your dressage, at your cross country, at your show jumping. And I think the challenge is how do you bridge those two together to get new people in the sport, educate horses, keep it, you know, those are the big issues. How do we keep it reasonable cost-wise? And so I think it's just being careful that, you know, we incorporate and we let new people in, or help new people come into the sport, but at the same time, kind of keep those core principles in place.
And what sort of trends have you been following on your, you know, in your particular area, as an organizer as well, of course, of events? Are they in keeping with the trends around the country and in the growth in any particular area among adult amateurs, for example?
I think we're really lucky in Area 7. I think we've got a great run of shows up here, and thankfully our calendar process has stayed pretty fluid. Everybody has been working together well, and, you know, I talked to Don Robbins, who helps with some of the amateurs and the adult riders, I believe, and she said that was a big concern, that there's just some places don't even offer amateur classes, and we do. We do quite a bit up here. I think at every show there's probably one, and I think that's important to them, to the amateurs that ride and compete, that they like to have their own class, and I think that's important. You know, and I think even along those lines, we're trying to do a little bit of a new system this year with our area championships. Instead of one class, we're splitting it out into three for the juniors to have their own class, and the amateur, it's either going to be an amateur or a senior division, and then a horse division as well. And it's just a different idea. It's just a new trend to try and make it a little more important for championships, and we're actually going to host it at Aspen Farm. So, but for my lower level classes, it's going to be the only way you get into the competition, is to be in championships. So trying to make it a little more important, and a bigger deal, for the lower level competitors. And whether you're juniors or amateurs, I think is important. It's very similar. We do prize money classes for beginner novice through training and in the spring. And I think some of those trends where it's not always, there's a perception everything always has to go into the upper levels, I think it's also important to, you know, the wide base is at the lower levels. And I think keeping it interesting and keeping it relevant for them is just as important.
And remind us all of the dates of your events in 2016, Jonathan.
Sure. We run the second weekend in June, the 10th to the 12th, and the same in September, the 9th to the 11th.
All right. And we can, of course, find more information on the omnibus schedule on the website. Jonathan, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, and welcome to the board.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. I'll be back next week for the final episode of the year as Joe Whitehouse reviews 2015. Until then, thank you all for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.